SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebeck.com. And it occurs to me, Tina and I actually went out yesterday in the afternoon and we got in the car. It was sunny and we drove around. You know, it's a an adventure. They're constituted right now. And while we were in the car, we heard SiriusXM opening up the dials and opening up everything for at least 6 weeks. I think the date was May 15th. So, I mean, obviously a lot of you are listening, you know, anyway, but if you've got radios that are inactive, or if you go online, SiriusXM online, that's wide open. And so you can utilize the network's generosity here to stay entertained and informed. They've got the special COVID channel, and you know, then there's everything else. There's all the news, sports, information, music, everything to keep you occupied, and we've got it on all day in the house. And I frequently have to fight with Tina, who likes country music, and I got nothing against country music, but you know, there's only so much of it you can take. Honestly, there's a limit to my when we're in the car driving, for instance. I give her leeway because she's a lot of times she's doing the driving, so I let her listen. But they seem to play the same song over and over again, and frankly, most of them sound alike anyway. I'm sorry, I do old school country. I have plenty of country artists that I've enjoyed over the years. Dwight Yoakam, Emmylou Harris. Emmylou Harris kind of transcends. I remember discovering Emmylou when she was doing a lot of bluegrass, and which I love, love bluegrass. But Dwight Yoakam, big Dwight Yoakam fan, seen Dwight several times, and you know, I like the real old Buck Owens, Sound of Bakersfield. I like Buck Owens. Who else? I'll ask Pete when Pete's on. Casey asking some of those key questions about country music. How many times can old Sparky die? how many times can the pickup truck be taken? It's a good question. How many wives can, you know, how many wives and girlfriends can run off? You don't have to listen to country, although there's plenty of it on the network. There's something for everybody. That's the bottom line. Certainly yesterday there was something for everybody in the 11:30 press conference, and I'm so glad we spent that time with Keith Shamblin yesterday morning, because apparently they ended up with a huge response, and over 900 people latched on to the teleconference. Unbelievable. 900 logged on to yesterday's business advisory, and all kinds of trainers and the farms and all different agribusiness, anybody, you know, the tack side of things, you bet, virtually everything. It ended up with the Q&A, it ended up going almost a full hour and a half. They'd expected to go about an hour. And the most important message seemed to be to act quickly. Do not hesitate. And granted, everybody probably, will talk to their own accountant and their own, tax advisors, etc. But move quickly. Move very, very quickly, because there is, significant aid available. The United States Small Business Administration loan through the CARE Act. But do not drag your feet. That seemed to be the key message. We'll, as I promised, that we'll get some further commentary and expertise to contribute some insights here probably tomorrow. And we'll reach out to the Greens and the Green Group. All right. So I'll get that done for you as well. A couple of other timing and scheduling advisories yesterday, including from Jim Lawson at Woodbine. They officially postponed the Queen's Plate, and they'll leave it sort of up in the air for now and see how things unfold. And, of course, the Woodbine season goes all the way to December. I mean, they've got a lot of leeway. And so Woodbine, that had already talked and advised the delay of the start of the meet, which had originally been for mid-April, the 18th, they had already said that they would wait, clearly, to start the season. But the plate, probably later in the summer, or maybe even into the fall. On that topic, when it comes to Derby, we'll talk to Jay Pribman tomorrow and get Jay's postscript to the Florida Derby. But of course, yesterday we would have been looking forward to the three giant cards for the Bluegrass Santa Anita Derby and the Wood. Instead, we have, we had hoped for Santa Anita Derby. Instead, we have nothing on that front. Jay provided another update yesterday in conversation with a handful of trainers, including John Sheriffs and Bob Baffert and Brendan Walsh. And, of course, you heard from Brendan here earlier this week as well with the Maxfield update. But we'll talk to Jay tomorrow and get the firsthand accounts. Looking at the racing action from yesterday, Tampa folding in to the Will Rogers and Fonner Park fun, and a big, big thanks to our own Seth Merrow. How about Seth yesterday? He not only does he, just come up with the first-time starter in the maiden claimer. He said, before we talk about the multi-race sequence late, he said, I like Cliffy, the firster, the revolutionary gelding from Mike Denny and Ballybrit. that was unbelievable. $20.80. Fabulous, fabulous push by Seth. And Cliffy scores off by widening lengths. I mean, just under Sammy Camacho. Camacho had himself a nice day yesterday, actually. Three wins. Not only did Seth give you Cliffy, but then later that Syzygy within the pick four sequence, the start of the pick four sequence, in fact, Syzygy also paying close to $20, $18.80 under Sammy Camacho. This for Louis Carvajal. And of course, we talked to Louis last week in association with the aborted Dubai World Cup and he having to make his way back Imperial Int. But Syzygy, a gone astray filly. This was maiden 16s. And she scores under Camacho. So great job by Seth, who delivers, you know, two $20-ish horses. Well done. There was a number of big prices yesterday at the three ovals, and that included a Tampa with that Greeley's Farewell. Tony Ferraro, a horse that he owns, was an Ontario-bred 10-year-old Greeley's Farewell. How about that? Paid $42.20 and kind of shook up that sequence. There were a bunch of big prices, not just winners either. There were some board hits all over the place. And the disappointment, of course, yesterday was in that nightcap at Tampa, where our country really finished third, but it was a meek third, never really threatened much, sort of, you know, was seen poised and made one little mild surge, but didn't really have any finish. And it was Ned Allard. With me and Mr. C, the Kozan gelding, that won that allowance to close out the multis and close out the card yesterday at Tampa. Tampa handling close to $5 million yesterday, and me and Mr. C $12. The pick four paid $4,372 and $6,200 for the pick five. And that Greeley's, well, Syzygy too contributing, but Greeley's Farewell at $42.20, that was the one that really put the spurs to the multi race wagers. Then over at Will Rogers, another $3 million and change day of handle there. And when it came to Fonner yesterday, it looked like their jackpot pick five, which we had touched on yesterday from Tuesday, the sequence was looking exceedingly chalky and it just kind of, you know, going along. Second choice won the first leg, paid $760, and then you had a 3-5 shot win the second leg, pay $340, then a $740 winner, second choice, and then another favorite at 3-2. And so it got to the nightcap, and it didn't look like this thing was going to pay 2 cents. This was a nickel claimer, non-winners of three, or Nebraska breds that hadn't won four, and the longest shot on the board, 62-1, Treppy's Triple Crown, a transept filly, Nebraska bred, Mark Lemberg and owner Kyle Kasperson. Congratulations to them. They win that nightcap. $127 mutual in the nightcap, which jumped that pick five to a $6,906 payday. It handled $189,000 yesterday, the jackpot pool. And now the carryover has swollen to $356,000. The Dinsdale Auto Group, America's favorite racetrack advertiser. a nice day yesterday, really, the three ovals and the way in which they unfold as the day goes by, with Tampa starting, and then a couple of hours in, you get to start picking up Will Rogers, and then late in the afternoon, here comes Fonner at 5 o'clock Eastern. So it really, it keeps you busy. And today, same thing. We've got Gulfstream back, and you got Oaklawn as well. So we'll say thank you to Will Rogers and Fonner until next week, and look forward back to next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But today, Oaklawn and Gulfstream, and I'm sure we'll handicap a little bit as the morning goes by. Let me tell you what we got on the agenda. We'll head to the break, and We'll start with Pete Fornatale. Pete yesterday was kind of otherwise occupied, so we'll get a visit in from Pete. And I know that last Friday they had that fun happy hour contest, the charity contest, and several hundred signed on, and they're going to do it again tomorrow. So we'll give some details to look forward to another Friday happy hour chat and charity contest. Dick Powell, we'll get Dick in here and catch up on Hong Kong. And see what Dick's been up to as well. Tony Black, of course, hour two, and Steve Haskin, Rich Eng, and I'm sure we'll get one more visit in as well. You know, I went looking at the Saturday cards, and Oakland's got a nice sequence. Looks like the best of Saturday's action. The Purple Martin. And, you know, we actually, Tina and I bought a Purple Martin birdhouse. And I got it up on one of those poles, but we haven't, it hasn't found, I didn't necessarily have to have, we didn't set it up. We didn't have to have Purple Martins specifically. But I'm it's a beautiful birdhouse, and big, like a bird condo, and we haven't gotten any takers. Nobody's moved in. The Purple Martin is the feature. In fact, as far as I know, it might be the only stake of the whole weekend. The Purple Martin for three-year-old fillies going six, and it includes Sadler coming back with that competitive edge filly, Edgeway, who was so impressive in February in that debut. She is the with Frank's Rocket being the other favorite. So that's a nice group. What, they got 10? They got 10 for the Purple Martin. But there's also a good filly allowance for three and ups, including the return of Marianne Ginger, Al Gold, and the first out winner from last summer at Belmont, and then was sidelined. And she won at first asking. Big, bulky group there. Bill Mott has sent horses to Oakland. Got in. There's also a money allowance going a mile and a 16th that features some three-year-olds you're familiar with, including Finnick the Fierce, the one-eyed dialed-in gelding for Ray Hernandez. Answer In as well, third in the Southwest, makes the return in this spot. Fort Knox, too, the maiden breaker for Keith DeSormo. So, some good racing at Oakland Saturday. Let's take the first break. We got Pete, we got Dick, Tony, Steve, Rich Eng, and more back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first bet. first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races. Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 20 plus into hour one on this Thursday. And yesterday we got busy first thing in the morning, and then had the opportunity to talk to Keith Shamblin in advance of yesterday's teleconference, which really, I think, has reached a lot of industry participants. And so we didn't talk to Pete, but here he is this morning. Good morning, Pete Fornatale.
Good morning to you, Steve. And yeah, that worked out well for me, as that was the first morning of the distance learning for parents. So I was a bit running around trying to get that figured out. We're doing that again today. I'm doing a little multitasking, making sure she gets set up on her Zoom call with her classmates. One thing I didn't realize when you're dealing with a kid who's parents' age, you don't... I was sort of like had the misidea that maybe this would mean, oh, she'll stare at her computer for 3 hours and I'll get some work done. there's much more like hands-on guidance involved than I was counting on, but we had a great day. We had fun going through the exercises and, you know, learning some basic math, trying to find ways to incorporate soccer and horse racing as much as possible into teaching these basic things we have to do. And we're often running with it for goodness knows how long, but it's fun. We're gonna have a good time with it. If I get distracted for a minute, it's probably related to that. But we should be A-okay.
How is she? You know, how is she adjusting? And what are you doing? You know, the rest of the day, where you know the kids undoubtedly want to play outside and you know want to have play dates and with their friends. What's the policy? What's the house policy she's under?
Yeah, we've come up with a few things for that have helped us immensely. We have done a few virtual play dates. She and different friends from class have been able to chat via Skype and Zoom and FaceTime and all that. And we're super lucky that we have a little bit of a backyard area here in Brooklyn. So it's big enough to set up a soccer goal. So we've been doing penalty kicks and having other fun little passing drills and things and getting a chance to get a little bit outside. We could technically go to the park, but I found that Prospect Park itself, I think last week I was talking to you while doing a walk inside, and it seemed to be getting more and more crowded by the day, and I didn't feel super comfortable in there. Mm. So I've taken to doing the perimeter of the park where I can get a 5 mile run in and not be within 6 feet of another human. It's very hard to do that inside the park, so we've decided to just leave that alone. And you know, I'd probably try to come up with a more creative solution, but we have this backyard space anyway, so we've been able to use that. And my mom has been super helpful as well. She and Perrin have been doing like a FaceTime for at least 30 or 60 minutes a day. So you know, we're just putting it together. In terms of her general attitude, honestly, I think she loves it. It's good having mommy and daddy around a lot, and she certainly misses her friends. But now, especially with the distance learning kicking in and getting a chance to at least physically see them for 20, 30 minutes a day, coupled with the play dates and the other things, she seems pretty happy.
Nice. And, you know, when it comes to keeping our audiences occupied and entertained, you've been productive on that front too. And last Friday, you set up for the happy hour handicapping contest and chat. It was a big hit, several hundred participants, and going to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, we're very excited. I'm very pleased. We did a record shattering 240 person feeder last week. We hope to do something similar again this week. We're doing it tomorrow. I think the broadcast is going to start at 4 p.m. Going to be on the Breeders' Cup Facebook page, but you don't need to have a Facebook account. It's just a live link that folks can watch along. We had a bunch of people, we had people doing everything. We had people playing, we had people watching, and we had people who had other things going on, just offering donations to the charities we were doing the show for, which included the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation and also the TAA. And we'll be looking to raise some more money and have some more fun. It'll be me, Matt Bernier, and JK guiding the ship for the broadcast, but folks should check it out. It's a good opportunity to support a cause and have a chance to get together. And with the bunch of racing this weekend, there'll be plenty to talk about. And we'll also just do some thought experiments and have some fun and do a little general handicapping chatter as well. You know, the idea of research and development, I think, is so important to the ongoing success of horse players, and the idea that if you're not actively trying to get better as a horse player, you're falling behind. And this time can be used for that purpose, whether it's doing research studies through programs like Stats Racelens or Formulator, or just going back and looking at your own results. There's so many ways you can improve, even if you're not playing as much as you have in the past. And if you are playing, I mean, we've seen what these pools are looking like. There's some opportunities. I wish I actually had more time in the day. I feel like this would be a really interesting time to devote oneself to a meet like Tampa or Oaklawn. and really try to dive in and get a lot done there. So there's plenty of fodder, that's for sure.
Where do they go? Give everybody the timing and the coordinates.
I will send out, the easiest thing to do, it's hosted on horseplayers.com, and you can find the feeder on there. But I'll send out a link to make it real easy. And as for the broadcast, it's going to be Facebook Live. But again, there'll be a link that you can follow if you follow me on Twitter over at Looms Boldly, or if you follow the Breeders' Cup through any of their social media. Links will be abundant.
Nice. All right, and we'll draw attention to that, and otherwise, keeping busy, keeping occupied, and there's just enough. There's just enough activity, for everybody to make a better two a day. Or, I know that in a lot of cases people are having to, look at feeds that they haven't before. But I do sense that people are enjoying that experience, too. I mean, when it comes particularly to Fawner and Will Rogers, today we've got Gulfstream, Oaklawn, and Golden Gate. And so, if there's going to be three signals, we're also going to talk international here in a couple of minutes when Dick joins us. There's a lot of people looking at Hong Kong, both days of the week that they run, and got an inquiry today about on Twitter about, I haven't had a chance to answer yet, but about Australia, and Brisnet, for instance, has got free PPs. For all the Australian racing people, looking to find spots to make wagers. And then I'm sure there's people that are looking at quarter horse and even a harness in some cases.
Any port in a storm for a lot of horse players. But, yeah, a day like today is a good example. I mean, I haven't had a chance to dive into it yet. I'm just scrolling through the Gulfstream card. There are a bunch of setbacks and interesting things going on. I may put in. It may work out perfectly where we're able to wrap our school day in time. I can sit around and play for a couple hours. It looked like a really good card. I'm enjoying the distraction that that racing can provide at a time like this.
No doubt. And one thing today about Gulfstream too, we'll reach out to Mike. There's three maiden specials today, and if you like doing pedigree work, two of the races are on the grass. There's some interesting opportunities as it happens today, and there's actually some pretty prominent pedigree types to dig into. So there's some good things happening today, a good way to keep the week going. And even though we're going to miss Santa Anita Derby Day on Saturday, we'll make the most of what we got.
Isn't it wild to think, wouldn't Keeneland opening day have been tomorrow?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm supposed to be in Lexington right now. We were supposed to have a little event tonight down there. We didn't have all the details, but, we have what we have. You make a good point. I mean, I think those maiden races in particular, I had a few bet back things pop up. I haven't handicapped the race yet, but I had a horse to watch note on the Pletcher runner Assume, who I'm going to probably be taking a long look at least in that race. There's some good stuff going on, and we'll just focus on that and do what we have to do to get through this unique time, not just for horse racing, but in the history of our country
And the world. Well, Pete,
right.
Listen, take care of your girls, and we'll look forward to tomorrow and the charity contest and chat, and that'll be a great way for people to roll into another weekend, everybody taking it day by day and week by week. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. There'd be some big names in there. We had Brian Shenvert winning the whole thing last week. It was the same prize for about the first 25, but it's still bragging rights. And it's a good opportunity to test your handicapping mettle against some of the best contest players out there. I'll send out the links and copy you, Steve, and your support as ever. Very much appreciated.
My pleasure. Pete Fornatale, everybody. looms boldly in the Money Player podcast with JK and much more. Let's take a quick break here. Dick Powell's going to join us. We'll talk about Hong Kong yesterday. If you were playing and watching, I kept an eye on it early and then got busy with the show. But yesterday was the all main track card. And sure enough, we've discussed this for years. Everybody, they keep betting Marrero, but he's not as good. He's not as good on the main track as he is on the grass. Yeah, kind of interesting. Let's take a quick time out and talk to Dick, and we'll also get a little survey of some international stuff for you as well, because a lot of people taking an interest in signals and parts of the world that they haven't watched before, most notably, well, Hong Kong, obviously, we discussed, but Australia, too. Back after this, Dick Powell, Tony Blacklater, Steve Haskin, and more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
The biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You came all over to me. Late night, we shed a drink or three.
Temples, really good. About 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Dick Powell joining us. Dick riding out the COVID storm, kind of alone, as he he's like a lone wolf protecting the homestead. Good morning, Dick.
Why is this day any different than any other day?
says our non-Jewish friend in advance of Passover. Well done.
Well, I read both Arnold Rothstein books.
And?
Very good.
And you?
Enjoyed them. A lot of history, a lot of Saratoga, a lot of connections with racing people and top racing people. And his influence at the beginning of the century, the last century, not this century, is just remarkable. Politics, sports, I mean, obviously gambling, but he was everywhere. And it just... It's amazing history to have woven around this one character who just seems to show up, whether it's bootlegging or eventually drugs and references to the opium wars and things like that, and just a wild ride. So I enjoyed both books.
Nice, not a good guy, not a nice.
No. No, nice troubled from a good family. Wasn't the stereotypical hard knock life going up or anything else like that. But he went down a path and phew.
The original Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta...
You know, it's funny, you know, how much he's been portrayed in you know, there's a handful of that era's gangsters that have been repeatedly portrayed in TV and film. Oney Madden as well, and of course, who's very tied to Madden, very tied to Hot Springs. Yeah. I mean, was big time in Hot Springs. But you know, all the classic. All that classic era, 20s, 30s gangsters. It's a very rich environment for storytelling.
And the whole connection with Tammany Hall and the police department, and oh man, just amazing corruption. Just that you couldn't even call it corruption. It was just a way of doing things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I enjoyed that. You know what I got to thinking, watching these races, and it's amazing to watch Oakland or Tampa or Gulfstream with nobody there. And it reminded me of when I was in junior college in Staten Island, in the public school basketball championships, they used to be held in Madison Square Garden. And you had Connie Hawkins and Roger Brown, all these all-time greats. And then there were some stabbings. I don't know if anyone got murdered, but they stopped holding them, the PSAL finals, in Madison Square Garden. So then I'm in Staten Island Community College, 1969, 1970, and I was always around a gym. And what they were doing was they would get the two teams who were playing, put them on a bus. They have no idea where they're going. And many times they showed up at our gym to play a PSAL playoff game in front of no fans.
Huh.
So I got to go to the games. Well, I got to see a guy named Lloyd Free from Canarsie High
School.
Oh, my God. Who went on to be World Be Free.
Absolutely.
And Steve Shepard, who went to Maryland. And Free wasn't even the point guard on Canarsie. They had this 5'8" player, O'Neal Tarrant, who was four-year All-NAIA, All-American. And then we got to see James Madison play. And James Madison had Ronnie Hagler, who went to University of Pennsylvania, and Fly Williams, who led the country in scoring in Austin, PA. They played boys high school. I mean, the games were just terrific. And once the game started, you know, it's nice to have the crowd in it, but you couldn't tell that there was any drop-off in competitiveness or anything else like that for the game. So you're just sitting there. I mean, I'm sitting, you know, wherever I want to sit, folding chair, first row, whatever. And so there was like a precedent to have these kind of sporting events held without fans.
Well, for the foreseeable future, and we're just happy with anything right now, and you know, basically about three venues a day. Again, today we've got three, and it certainly. It seems like enough to keep people occupied. And then there is the international side of things. And we'll talk about Hong Kong now. And I also want you to give a survey, too, of Australia's landscape, because people are venturing into the Australian racing as well. Free PPs at Brisnet. And got an inquiry last night, overnight. But let's talk about Hong Kong. And I was watching yesterday until the show started. I was watching the all main track action.
Yeah, they didn't go to Happy Valley yesterday. They stayed at Sha Tin.
Right.
They ran on the all weather. It was wet. They had rain. And this Sunday for their card with a couple of big races, they're supposed to have rain again. So we've kind of been lucky all year. We've seen either good or good to firm. So now when you look through a horse's past performances and you're trying to find any kind of form with anything but that kind of track surface, you got to dig pretty hard. So we're going to have some unusual circumstance, at least for this racing season, coming up on Sunday. It didn't seem to affect the races that much yesterday. They were listing it as wet slow, but they ran a mile and an eighth in 47.34, and they had another race that went very fast time. So I think they had the effect of the wet surface might have been making the track quicker, or just certainly not slow, because the times were all within range of what they should have been. So that was interesting to watch. Speed did well, but you did see some horses come from way back. So that tells me, watching the races, it just wasn't the type track that you could sit mid-pack and then make your move. You either used your energy early and got your momentum, or you built up momentum from behind and then just made the one big run. So it was interesting to see Sha Tin racing at night. They got their eight races in, and let's see. Well, Sunday, when we talked last Thursday, Zach Purton had taken the lead in the writer's title. And Sunday, Joe comes back with five wins. Zach had two, but Joe had five, so he pulled ahead. Joe had one winner yesterday. Zach got shut out, so Joe Moreira is now at 95. Zach is at 92. Karis Teton had a triple yesterday with three winners. He's at 53. Only one favorite won on the old weather yesterday. So that was something to kind of keep in mind. Trainers just keeps not really a lot of movement. Ricky Yu and Francis Loy just have been 1-2 close, but no one making any moves. And underneath that, Danny Shum and Tony Cruz are starting to warm up now. This Sunday, we have two big races, both grade twos, and the first of which will occur in race number three, and this is the Chairman's Trophy. A group two going 1,600 meters. We have Beauty Generation, who won its last start, but they had kind of changed plans. The original plan was to try to get him to go to Dubai, which obviously would not have worked out, as it turns out. So Beauty Generation stayed home. He won his last start going 7 furlongs. Now he goes a mile. But what I like with him is he draws outside. And Kaiying Star looks to be the speed in the race, number three. And I think Waikuku, who's fully capable of beating Beauty Generation, draws post number one. So I think Beauty Generation from post six can sit outside the speed, stalk Kaiying Star, And then I think Zach can kind of wait and wait and wait before he presses the button on Beauty Generation. I think Waikuku and Joe Marrera from the rail, they run the risk of getting either boxed in or shuffled back. But you still got Joe Marrera. He's able to do just about anything aboard a horse. So that should be, tactically, that should be a really interesting race. And, you know, Beauty Generation still highly rated in the world. He's highly rated. He just had a couple of races where he got ran down late, but he looked back on his game last time, covering 7 furlongs and 21 and change. So that's race 3, the Chairman's Trophy. And then race 7 is the Sprint Cup. And both of these races are Group 2 stakes. The Sprint Cup has a Athero, probably my favorite horse over there. He's a 3-year-old Australian gelding, just gigantic. Big, big chestnut. He weighs like 570 kilos. Fast as could be. And then when you watch his trials, he goes 109 and change, like on the all-weather track. He's just like stupid fast. He looks to be around 17 hands, but fast as can be. He had been winning. He got caught a neck in a Group 1 back in December when they had their International Day. He's been off since, but training well. And I think he'll be fit and ready. He draws post 5 right in the middle for this 1,200-meter sprint. And then he's in amongst Hot King Prawn. Beat the Clock is not in this race. He's had a problem, so he has to pass the race. But Hot King Prawn and Thanks Forever, who's a 4-year-old who had been trying to, you know, go the distance route, he kind of turns back to a sprint here, which might have been the smarter thing to do. But the big story here is the return of Athero, who was rated at 119 pounds in Hong Kong, 120 internationally, and just an emergent superstar if John Moore can just keep that big body together. But he is fun to watch because the gate opens, and he's right into it, and you see the big, long stride, and strong as he is. Now, he has no form on anything but firm or good and firm. So with the expected rain, that will be interesting. It shouldn't affect him. A horse that big shouldn't be a problem, but you never know how far he's sinking into the track or anything else like that. So those are the big ones coming up. Best Shot 10 on Sunday. We have first post at 12:45 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 races.
Cool. Cool. The rest of the morning, excuse me, Marrero never won one yesterday the rest of the day, right?
Correct. He won one and then that was it.
Yeah, okay. That's my big angle. That's the Paul Matisse. That was the Matisse lesson from years ago. When they run the main track, they keep betting Marrero, and he's just not as effective on those days. It's just not his. It's not as much his thing. Dick, let's fold in some other international conversation because people, you know, looking at all hours and at all their betting menus on their ADW, and that includes Australia and some people kind of wandering down under for the first time. Give them a quick survey of the landscape in Australian racing.
Well, right now the big races are being held up in the Sydney area. So those horses race right-handed. In Victoria, which is where Melbourne is, they race left-handed. So when you see Randwick or Rose Hill or anything like that, they're racing to the right. And so it's a little bit different than what we're used to, where Melbourne Cup races like that race to the left. Still some big races. In fact, Saturday, early Saturday morning, late Friday night for us, we have, computer's a little slow, we have the ATC Sires Produce grade group one two-year-olds going 1,400 meters, and this drew 15 horses. Post position here is critical, and don't forget, program number does not equal post position. You got to be really careful about that. A horse who ran well in the Golden Slipper Prague, I think he was fifth or sixth. He drew post 15, and that's tough. Then the next race is the Australian Derby. Now they have a lot of Australian Derbies. They have the Victoria Derby on during the Melbourne Carnival. So it's kind of like us with the Florida Derby and Kentucky Derby, stuff like that. But it drew a big field of 12, and I'm always sympathetic to the So You Think offspring. He has one in here, number 6, Quick Thinker, currently 9-1 in the tote early betting. And we'll see if he can improve enough. Favorite is Castelvecchio. And then you also see a lot of races where, not so much in this race, but you'll see James Cummings as a trainer. And James Cummings is Bart Cummings' grandson. Bart was the king of Australian training, 12 Melbourne Cups. James is his grandson, and he has the Godolphin horses. So you'll see him with a lot of horses, especially race number 8 is a group one. This is the T.J. Smith Stakes. T.J. Smith, Tommy Smith, was Gay Waterhouse's father. He was the leading trainer in Sydney, I think, for 33 years, some incomprehensible number.
Jesus.
So it's like, huh? And Gay is his daughter, and T.J. Smith won 6 Golden Slippers, and a week or two ago, Gay won her 7th Golden Slipper. Now, she trains in partnership with Adrian Bott, which is not unusual in Australia, that it's not necessarily just one trainer. So James Cummings has, in the T.J. Smith, he has Trekking, number 5, he has Bivouac, number 7, who's coming off a big, big race. And Santa Ana Lane is in here, Stevie. $7.5 million in earnings.
Well, that's my horse. That's my, yes. I love it.
He's in there. And Redzel, who was the winner of the first two, what was it, the Everest?
Yes.
Yeah, because he has $16 million in earnings. He's number 4. 13 horses going. Very tough field, and obviously post positions will be tough because they get out and then they start turning right, and you got a long time when you turn for home, but you just can't be parked 4 or 5 wide the whole trip. That's a lot to ask. So that's coming up late Friday night, early Saturday morning at Royal Randwick. So you got another group one. You got the Doncaster Mile. Excuse me. I went on to race number 9. Doncaster Mile, a field of, 24.
Nice.
And all the usual suspects that you would think would be in here, they all are, including Melody Bell. A 5-year-old mare from New Zealand. The New Zealand horses are just so good. They're so hard knocking and strong. Super Sep from Anthony Friedman is taking money, and you can just tell by the betting odds how wide open this race is. So that's race number 9, going a mile. Looking for the purse. I know there's a big purse race, but I'm not sure if that's the one. But yeah, a bunch of group one races coming up. When you're watching the races, just understand that 2-1 is our even money. So when they say something is even money, they're saying it's 2-1. So it's going to pay $4, just like our even money pays $4. The difference is they include the stake and the price, whereas we don't. So you'll hear them say 5-4. Well, that means you went from 5-1 to 4-1. But 4-1 is going to pay $8, not $10 like us. So that's a little confusing, but the reality is North America is about the only ones that do it our way. Most everyone else does it just multiply the odds by $2, and you get your win price. So you'll hear a lot of things that are a little bit confusing. They'll give you tote price. They'll give you bookmaker prices. They'll have a person by the bookmaker board, and he'll be quoting prices, and those are fixed odds. You're not betting fixed odds, but sometimes that's better. I mean, and it gives you an idea that if you see someone getting bet in the fixed odds pool, it might be worth jumping into your, they call it a B pool. The bets are not commingled right into the tab core, but they're lumped together with other countries that betting Australian race. And so the pool sizes are pretty good. I wouldn't worry about that. So that's about it.
Well, and to give people a little bit of help on the identification front, like for instance, today's racing, people kind of kid about the Australia A, B, C, D. Well, today, and when you get the PPs, if you get the free PPs at Brisnet, it's basically a gigantic program, and it's all the races in basically the timing order. And so the A, B, C, D each day is basically designating whatever ovals are running that day. So today, for instance, A is Gold Coast, B is Tamworth, C is Benalla, and D is Canberra. And then tomorrow, and then this is very similar to what we see if you watch the Irish racing and the way they go from track to track, day to day. And Friday, as Dick laid out, the A course, the first racing will come from Randwick, and then B is Doomben, C is Hawkesbury, and D is Ascot. And so each day, the A, B, C, D corresponds to the tracks that are running that day whether it's in New South Wales or whatever state that they're operating that day and over the course of their calendar. And the PPs have the Eastern, Central, and Pacific times on them. You can really, you basically have got four racetracks worth of action, that start concurrently and start to fold in, and you can just play right along. And PPs are easily decipherable, I don't imagine it'll take long. And there's certain trainers, as Dick just laid out, and certain riders like you, Bowman, you're going to know, and Karen McAvoy, and so far, people like that are the international stars that you see on Melbourne Cup Day. I don't think it'll take much, Dick, for people to get familiar with the Australian circuits.
No, and after every horse, there's some fine print that someone has written up, and it basically covers their last two starts, but it gives you a nice synopsis of their last two starts and where they are. Also in the PPs, you will see a morning line that's pretty accurate, because they do start betting early. They start betting when entries are drawn, fields are drawn. So the line you're going to see there is a good gauge. It's a good barometer. Friday night's a little bit different because these stake races aren't the typical handicaps that we normally get, so you're not having to deal with some of those issues. But a lot of information. If you really, really want to drill down, go to something called racenet.com.au. And that has just tremendous information, but it's like now you're going deep into the weeds. You're like going way, way inside. But once you get familiar with everything, then you get some good stuff. And both sites, whether you go to Sky Racing World or go to racenet.com.au. There's lots of picks and analysis and stuff like that. So, if you want to try to do it all on your own, have at it. But if you want to read other people's analysis and see what little gems that they've come up with, certainly worth reading.
tremendous. I'm glad we did this. This was an exercise worth doing. And the racing tomorrow, I'm just printing out the Randwick stakes sequence, and these are serious horses and yeah. And some very serious racing to look over. Race 7 starts it out, that Bentley Australian Derby, and that is at 12:55 a.m. Into Saturday morning, but 9:55 Pacific, then 10:35 Pacific for the TJ Smith Stake, and then the Doncaster Mile at 11:15 Pacific. So, not outlandish start times. And those of you that have been playing Hong Kong, you're getting used to these as well. So, look forward to a nice card and access free past performances at Brisnet. Well, Dick, obviously you're keeping busy, and I can tell, and we'll look forward to talking next week.
Well, the one negative thing is I have lots of time to think, and I have concluded there will not be a Saratoga meet this year.
You really think we're in trouble on that front? What's your...
Just the logistical issues, canceling Wimbledon, canceling the British Open. We're going into June. We're going into July. You can race at Belmont. You can race at Belmont without fans. The horses are there. The help is there. But to then pick up and pack up and come up here is going to be not only difficult, but extremely risky. And I just can't see. When you start looking at timelines, and you know we still haven't hit that peak where we kind of start heading down the hill instead of going up the hill, and the timing, it just is. I don't think it's going to work.
Well, I know that there. In fact, there's some important meetings today going on, and ongoing assessments. They're trying to figure out when they might be able to get going again at just at Belmont for starters, and then you take it from there. We'll see how soon they can. I think they have to certainly wait until we're on the backside in New York, in and around the city and Nassau County. And it's not like some of the environments that are like a hot springs, for instance, and even San Francisco, where they've had a bad bout. It's one of the surprising elements that racing continues there, but it has to be in an environment, I would think, Dick, that where things have started to feel like they're more manageable, and the difficulties with the availability of beds. Our friends' daughters are both in the medical fields, and I understand 10 patients were sent to Albany Med yesterday critical bed space started to become acute, and in the metropolitan area. Things still
and
a little bit when, too
when
hot.
When you look at a map of New York City, the real hotspot is Queens.
Yes.
It's not Manhattan. It's Queens, and it's literally, when you look at the zip codes, it's literally where Aqueduct is. And then most of Belmont is in Queens. And you can still race at Belmont. Theoretically, you got everything in place. The question is, could you come up here and race, and then could you come up here and race with throngs of people? And I just can't see it. Maybe I just need to get out of the house more, whatever. But I timeline wise and everything else, I, I, unfortunately just can't see it happening. And I'd hate to see it happen if it turns out to be something that they have to cancel or they have, you know, just, I don't know. You could still race at Belmont. You could race at Belmont all summer. You could, it's not what anyone wants to do. And then the other issue, obviously, is going to be since Aqueduct, the Resorts World, has been closed, that faucet is turned off. And purses and administrative expenses for NIRA and capital expenses for NIRA and things like that, Breeders' Awards, things like that. And I don't know when that's going to be up where you could have 5,000 machines and all those people in a confined space.
Agreed. These are all the, you know, the working parts, the moving parts of the scenario that everybody's dealing with. Yeah, no, you're not the first to make the suggestion that that the season here is may be in jeopardy. That has been floated a little bit. So,
a down note, but you know, it's weird for me because I live here, so it's like, well, we don't have racing. I feel bad for the people that plan to come, that come every year and fly in, but then do you want to fly or make your plans and then find out it's been canceled or whatever, or they're going to be racing without fans, and which I would hate to see. I mean, as much as Saratoga racing is great, without having fans there, I don't know how that would go.
you bring up an absolute valid point that by all rights, keeping people at Belmont, and if you're not going to be able to race in front of people, you might as well conduct the meet, you know, from Belmont, and you know, just you know, run the book, and of course there is, you know, the potential here to meld the two meets, the summer, you know, the spring summer Belmont meet and Saratoga, and you know, I'm sure that this is being treated by management as a blank slate, and you know, you can blue sky virtually anything here, and you know, figure out what can be accomplished, you know, but some racing is going to be important, you know, at a certain juncture. We can tread water, you know, for just so long. And, you know, hopefully by, you know, if not the end of April, early May, at some point, you know, they can reboot. So we'll, I appreciate you offering that insight, Dick, because I'm sure you didn't arrive at that, you know, half-heartedly.
No, it's definitely evolved.
All right. Well,
I know.
Stay safe, Dick. And
okay, you too.
Talk next week. I appreciate it. Dick Powell, everybody.
Thanks, Dave.
HKJC Racing, and another nice weekend of Hong Kong. And now you've also been introduced to Australia on a daily basis as well. Today, Gold Coast, Tamworth, Canberra, and Benalla, and real good racing tomorrow, stakes wise, particularly at Randwick. Let's take a break and come back and check in with Tony. Tony's home and keeping himself occupied. I guess he did all the yard work that was necessary, and we'll see how Team Black is handling another week of housebound activities. Back after this. At the Races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at HorseBills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.